Hi there, everyone. My name is Thomas Seggi, and I'm the 2019 Pride of the Hyde, and welcome to the King Closet. This is a podcast where I go around interviewing people throughout the community to find out their story. Today, I am joined by Gael. Gael, say hello.
Hi, Thomas. Hi, everybody.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I just woke up. In fact, you just woke me up in Belgium, so I'm cool a little bit. Dizzy, but I'm okay.
Good. For everyone listening, Gael is the Mr. Leather Belgian 2020. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Perfect. So we are doing this interview via Skype, which is great. And I'm really keen to get to chat to you, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everyone else. Tell me who you were before you were a fetish person.
Oh, that's a difficult one. In fact, I am like a late bloomer. I don't know if it's correct word.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's correct. So yeah, I kind of step in quite late. It's not like I just found it somewhere, you know. I think it was always inside somewhere hidden. But I grew up in a very traditional, classic family. But in the suburbs of a multicultural neighborhood, so I was always like the stranger one in a stranger neighborhood, and I grew up in a family speaking French in a Flemish part of Belgium. So it was always like being the stranger somewhere. But I went to school, I graduated, I went to college, got a diploma, and started my own business. And I found it was time to get a boyfriend, so I went on social media, I find my boyfriend, and there it started. Then we had.
So like, hang on, how did we find this boyfriend? Did you just go on social media and go, "I need boyfriend, thank you"?
No, that sounds very simple, but it wasn't like that. You know, when I was living with my parents, we didn't have internet, even if it was like the early 2000s. I just didn't have internet, and the only internet access we had, it was at school and at internet cafes. So when I graduated, I just thought it was time to move out of the parents' house, and I started working. And I think the first thing I did when I came into my apartment was having the internet. And the first thing when I got the internet was on going to Gaydar, it was at the time. It was previous thing as Planet Romeo and Grindr, but it was online. It was Gaydar. It was 14 years ago now. And I think I immediately connected with someone, and then we chatted for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks in gay term is very long to chat before meeting someone. So we met each other, and then rest happened and we stayed together. But then afterwards, we lived together, you know, we focused on working. My boyfriend had 2 kids from the previous relationship. So it was like a traditional family because one of his kids wanted to live with us. And yes, it was like buying a house, working a garden, 2 dogs, the traditional family we have. But at one point, we started to install new apps like Grindr, Romeo, and all the stuff. And then you start connecting with other gays. And at one point, we got in contact with another couple, and we had this dating thing going on.
Yep.
And then he took out the rope. He took out like a leather hood. And it was for me like, what is going on here? And that was the first start of the closet, the fetish thing, I guess. And it's not that long ago. It was back in 2015, and end of 2015.
I mean, like, so, still, like, 5 years ago is still, 4 or 5 years ago is still this amount of time, yeah?
It is, but it didn't come up very quickly, you know? The guy came up with a rope, so after that we went to Mr. B for the first time, and we thought, oh, let's buy some rope. But, you know, entering this fetish store for the first time, it was so hard, you know? I passed the shop like once, twice, 3 times before getting in. I just had to pull myself together to step inside. But once inside, yeah, it's like it's a shop like all others. It's something in your mind you made up just Yeah, it's dangerous and it's terrible to step in, but it's a really normal shop. So we bought some ropes, and I remember I bought my first piece of rubber. It was a rubber shorts, and short after that, we went on vacation to Australia. Actually, it was 2 weeks after that, and there.
Oh, hang on. Before we get into that, let's go back to this fetish store, okay?
Yeah.
So. let's go back into it. So you're talking to us about your pacing back and forth in front of the store.
Talk
to us about that. What was going through your head, and why were you pacing? What were you going through?
You know, I have always been the shy one, the scared one, the one to make some steps to something new. It's like my boyfriend always says, it's like the comfort zone you have to pass through. And you know, if you never did something like this before, going into a fetish shop to buy some ropes or other stuff, you don't know what to expect inside, you know. And you have this facade of the shop. It's like a great thing, and there is this puppet in the display. I don't know what it was. It was like a straight jacket. Is it the right word?
Yeah. So like you got a mannequin with a straight jacket on.
Yeah. And it was, okay, should we get inside? And my boyfriend, come, let's go inside. I was, no, I'm too scared to get inside. So we
passed
the shop like three times.
So you were intimidated by the shop front.
It was because you don't know. I'm always intimidated by something that I don't know. And I felt like, oh, you have to go first. So I pushed him inside, and then I had to follow, of course, and the rest is history. So we went in, and then you see things you never seen before. And it was a strange feeling, you know? So we were there standing at the front desk, and the guy said, oh, if you need help, I will be helping you. So have a look around. So we went around in the shop, and it was rubber shorts, leather pants, harnesses, you know.
Yeah.
It was the classic thing you can find in a fetish store. But yeah, that was a scary thing to do for the first time.
So with the guy who was helping at the store, did you actually get help for him, or did you just try and just do what we always do, is walk around and just look and be too nervous or too shy to ask for help?
No, I immediately asked her, oh, we want some rope, you know, just to go through the ice, and say, oh, yeah, I just need a rope. And then he showed me the rope. He had different kind of ropes. Of course, I needed the black one because I love all black stuff. And
I know.
I said, oh, let's take the black one. And then we went through the shop and started looking around. And I will always remember, I saw this rubber short, and I said, oh, this looks interesting. And then he said, oh, you can try it on, just fit it. But it was like a fisting short. So I was, okay, I can fit it. And then he said, you want me to help you? And I was, okay, because, you know, I wasn't...
You're nervous.
People helping me, putting on some shorts with, like, a hole in it. It was, okay, so I was standing there outside of the changing box, room. And he was helping me in front of the mirror. That was a really strange experience, but refreshing one, so it was not that bad. So,
well, that must have been fun, though. You've got someone helping you. You're trying on stuff you never knew existed. I mean, it doesn't... But that's how memories are formed, aren't they?
Exactly. But it wasn't the leather piece, you know? It was just the rubber shorts at that moment, because I didn't know about the leather stuff like all the other talking about. Oh, I remember Tom of Finland when I was young, but I didn't have those memories at all.
No.
So the leather thing came very later on in this process. So it started with small steps.
Yeah,
and seeing others online, what's happening, sportswear, shorts, you know, the traditional things at first, and then you find your way through things you really want to try.
So, but how did it feel going outside your comfort zone? How did it feel doing all of this and stepping outside of your comfort zone?
you know, I walked out of the shop and my heart was still ticking faster because I did something I never did before. So I'm always like this. That's just part of me being nervous for something I don't know, but it was, I liked it. And good. We came back after our trip to Australia. So
yeah. How was, I mean, just leg out of the way, how was your trip to Australia?
Amazing.
And when are you coming back?
I really would like to do Mardi Gras
yeah.
one day, but it's usually what around the time Darklands and Antwerp is hanging around. So it's really a hard decision because you can't go to Australia for just a few days. I come, yes, in fact, you can, but that would be very stupid because Australia has so much more to offer. So we will come back, definitely.
Good. Okay, so you've come back from Australia and you're going through this journey and you're starting off. When did the leather start coming in then? Because you said that you're just exploring all these other kinks. When did leather start coming into it?
It was back in 2016. I remember all these dates by heart. Don't ask me why, but I just remember it was like...
Well, they must be special for you.
Yes, it was in October 2016. But I have to say, I bought my first piece of leather in Sydney. It was the leather harness. You know, everybody who starts in fetish, in a strange way, has to buy a leather harness. And it was the first thing I bought back in Sydney. And again, there it was the first experience passing the shop again and again and again before entering. But don't ask me the name. I don't remember the name of the shop. But that was exactly the first piece of leather I bought.
Was it on Oxford Street here?
Oh, excuse me?
Were you on Oxford Street here in Sydney?
Yes, I think I was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, sounds like it might be from our good friends at Saks, which is cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably. So your first was the leather harness. Do you still have it?
Yes, I still have it. But I don't wear it a lot. I don't wear harnesses a lot anymore. But, you know, it's the first piece of leather. And the first thing I remember was the smell of it and wearing it. And it felt so tight. But it wasn't the moment I thought, yeah, now I should buy like a pair of leather pants or a leather shirt. It came later on. But the friends of the Mr. B shop in Antwerp told me, oh, there is this election of Mr. Fetish Boots. The Boots Antwerp is a cruising fetish bar in Antwerp, and they organize every year a fetish competition to elect Mr. Fetish Boots of that year. It was 2016, and I said, no, that's not for me going for a title. I don't want this being public. I wasn't ready for it to be public as I am today. And they said, oh, you have to do it because they have good prices and you will win like this and this and this. Just do it for fun. You will probably end very high. That's what I said. So I was so naive and do the thing. And I said, yes, but before I do the election, I can't go to an election of a fetish bar without a piece of leather. So that's the moment I thought, I need to try those leather pants. And you know what happens when you try your first leather pants? I just looked in the mirror and I thought, I just need this. And that was the start of something bigger. So, yes, the leather pants was the beginning of my leather addiction. For me, it's just like you have to try things on to experience what you like and what you don't like. And this first purchase was the beginning of it all.
Yeah, we kind of hear a lot of, and you always get people telling you, oh, yep, just went into the store and I put it on and I just couldn't take it off. And they just kind of fall in love with it that way. It's a, you know, it's a feeling. It's something you love when you put them on.
And it's not something you can tell to other. You can tell, oh, it was an amazing feeling, but people will only experience it when they fit it for themselves. It's not like you can sell, oh, you have to wear leather. It's just a feeling. The sound, I really like really, really tight leather. The sound, the smell, the feeling.
The creaking.
Yes. And the breaking in for the first week, sleeping in it, it's terrible, but you still love it, you know.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Now, whatever happened to this election? Did you actually go through with it in 2016?
Yeah, it was terrible. You know, 2016 was a bad year for me for personal reasons. My office wasn't doing very well, so I wasn't not in a really good mindset.
I feel you. But
the best thing happened the day of the election. I booked a hotel in Antwerp, because even if it's really close to my hometown, we decided to stay in Antwerp. So it was 1 hour before the election. And then I thought, yes, I have to put my leather pants on. What happened? The zipper broke.
No. Yeah,
and it was the very famous Mr. B fucker jeans, you know, with the zip from front to back. So yeah, the zip broke. So I thought, I can't go with the thing hanging on there, open for everybody. I couldn't do this. So yes, I left the leather pants home, and I just put on some sport shorts I had with me. I went to the election, but no, it wasn't a big success. But I ended up as third one. So it's not bad after all. And I got some prizes from Mr. B as well. So it was a good thing. But it was a good experience doing it. It's again, stepping out of your comfort zone and do something.
Okay, so what's happened since?
What happened since? You know, leather is very expensive.
You think?
I think everybody knows it. And you can buy everything you want at one point. So it took me a while to get the whole leather uniform, from leather pants to gloves to the shirt to the bar vest to the whole stuff, you know, how it works. So it took me a while. It took me like 2 years, I guess, to get it all together, which is really fast.
That's really quick.
In my opinion. But yeah, once you're addicted to it, you just want to have it very fast together, because then we started to discover Folsom in Berlin, Maspalomas Fetish Week, Darklands was also new to us. And then when you walk around, you see all those fetish guys with this whole uniform. You just want to have it all together, just to fit in. And that was a wrong feeling, because at one point I did some things to fit in somewhere.
No, that's even not if good. It's,
yeah, that's not. And I realized it, but then afterwards, you know, leather is still something that was inside me somewhere. So it's not like something I came up to fill some void in my life. It's just part of me.
So that's interesting. Interesting, because it's interesting that you're saying that you're saying that leather's a part of you. Even though you say you've come to it late, as a late bloomer, but you always said that you were feeling like you could feel it as a kid, like, you know, strange kid in a strange neighborhood there.
Yes.
Yeah. But you're saying that as a kid, you kind of even felt like you had this in you, but you didn't know what it was?
Yeah, probably. Because everybody wants to be different in one way, but also you want to fit in a group somewhere. And I didn't feel like I was fitting in the neighborhood or back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me quite some time to realize that you don't have to fit in to meet some expectations. You just have to feel comfortable with yourself, come up with what you really like, what you really want to do. And that's the beginning of being happy and discovering what you really want, without thinking, oh, I will look good, I will look silly without this, and this in the community. So it's just a moment when you realize you don't need
to be need like to have all that. The rest. Yeah, well, it's funny, like you're saying, like, with this, you don't, you want to be different in your own way, but you also want to feel like you belong. Would you say instead of that, you want to be different, but you also want to feel welcomed?
Yes. You know, when you see a bluff guy, it's all the same, you know. There's still this part where you want to have this jacket, the shirts, the pants, the boots. You want you still want to have that look. So in one way, you want to fit in something that is bigger. That's why I became also a bluff member. A proud bluff member to be to be honest. So yeah, and I still try to do some things differently with accessories,
Have your own unique style with something that you're basing / draws inspiration from.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. So we talked about earlier, you won your title this year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's good. You're welcome. And we're talking earlier off air about something special that you've been doing. Tell us a bit about that.
When I went to the election of Mr. Leather Belgium, you have to come up with a project. There is this jury. You have to present a project you are going to fight for a whole year and even more after that. And I came up with the idea of We Are Fetish. To be honest, it's not something I made up from myself. I had like good friends who helped me with this. And they said, oh, you're half Chinese, you're half Mauritian, you are a French Belgian, one living in the Flemish part, one of Belgium. So you're such a mixture, and the leather scene just missed something exotic, more color. And that's why I thought, yeah, let's start We Are Fetish. It's something I want to start to bring up the minorities out of the fetish community. Group. Yeah, of the community to bring all together, because there is still visibility needed for some groups like trans people, Asian guys. I don't see them a lot in events, but I mean in the leather scene. There's such improvement to do on this side. Even women, they are more than welcome at Darklands. And I remember last year doing the Pride in Antwerp, and I was asked to go on the trail on the truck of Mr. B, and Mrs. Leather Netherlands was there, and I had so much fun because she was so liberated dancing around on the truck. And I was, you know, and it was the first time I was confronted with a woman in the fetish scene, and I thought this should happen more. So that's when I thought this needs a little bit more attention.
Of course. And
after the election, we almost went in lockdown because of the COVID crisis. So I didn't have the opportunity to go to events because everything was cancelled. Mm-hmm. Folsom was cancelled. Easter Berlin was cancelled.
Yeah.
And they were all events I was supposed to go to. So I had to come up with something else. And I always had the idea to put up a Facebook group, to start a website. And I wanted to promote or to put some people in front of it. But people from the subcultures who need more attention.
Of course.
That's when I started with like what you do with the podcast, with written interviews.
Yeah.
To bring them on the people. So I started this Facebook page, and strange to say, but it exploded like the first 3 weeks, because everybody was posting, hello, it's me from there, from Australia, from America. And it wasn't what I expected. Of course, it turned out better than I thought, because everybody was posting and presenting themselves in all colors and all fetish gear, women, men, all together. And it was like, oh, it works quite well.
Good.
My intention was just like to put some interviews online of stories, people telling their lives, how they experience the being a minority in the fetish scene. But then, it kind of exploded in a good way.
That's good. We all like some good explosions, don't we?
We all do.
Well, that's very lovely. And so how can people find We Are Fetish?
Just put type We Are Fetish in Facebook and you will find it. It's an open Facebook page. But I have to say, I got some bad comments over there, because people were saying, oh, this should be like a men-only group. And I was, no, that's not the point of the group. It's just bringing all the groups together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are some groups focusing on leather, on rubber, on motorsports. It's all good to have them, but I just wanted something else to bring everybody together.
Good.
That's really, well, yeah. That was my point.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it, and all the best with it. And I hope others come and find you on your social medias. I've been seeing hashtags on Instagram being going around, which has been great as well.
I'm happy for that.
Good. And it's happy when things happen naturally. So it's fun. So have fun with it.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're nearing the end of the call. And so I just want to ask you just a question is, what would you say to someone who is stuck in their comfort zone, who knows they should be doing this but isn't?
There will always have to be this first step again and again and again. You know, once you stepped out of your comfort zone once, it doesn't mean you will do it twice or a third time or a fourth time. It's every time a battle you have to do to step out of this comfort zone. But the only thing I would advise is getting in touch with people, like-minded people. Instagram is full of this, you know. I got friends from everywhere. I can ask every stupid question about leather, about rubber, about the fetish scene, about organizations. That's the first step to do. Just get surrounded by the right people who can help you move forward and help you. In my case, I have to say, the one who pushed me a little bit over the hedge was Carl Reiter from Gear 365. I was chatting with him at the time, and he was the one who made me open up my Instagram account back then.
Yeah,
he didn't ask for it, but he was such an inspiration for wearing this leather all day, every day. He was the one wearing leather at the airport with his Mohair cap, and I was like, oh God, I want to be like him. So it's just having those inspirations around to help you go forward. But the most important thing is do it at your own rhythm. It's not a marathon.
Yeah.
It's not a run for something you have to win. Just do it at your own rhythm. That's the most important thing.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. All right. Yeah. Gail, we are at the we are done. Thank you
already.
Yeah. You have now gone through the kink closet with me. You have now come in and then come out again of the kink closet. How do you feel?
I like it. It's quite dark in it. So
well, you did say you like black, so I got the style team in. I got some black with some bit of gold accents, and you know.
Oh, thank you.
Don't mind the accessories, and just be mindful of how long you sit down, because you might be staying there for a while.
That sounds good. But yeah, I'm not coming to Australia before, I hope, in 2021.
We hope so too.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining us in the King Closet. It's greatly appreciated.
It was my pleasure too.
All right. Everyone, look out for We Are Fetish on Facebook, and feel free to get in contact with Gael on the social medias. Okay, all right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye,
Thomas. Bye.